Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
When I was asked to talk, I knew Justin was going to share about this, and I thought the great topic is that one that we read about being Christ's ambassadors wherever we are. And it's certainly great to see how Justin and Alyssa can really be that on the Mercy Ship. But you know, each one of us are called to be Christ's ambassadors wherever we are. And that's such a challenge to realise it's not about us, it's about Him. And so if I could just share a few points that were on my heart. Firstly, from the 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, it talks about that. And I'll just read, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God, who was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, but he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him to be no sin, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. And what a call it is to be ambassadors. If you think of an ambassador to a country, that ambassador represents that country or that nation. And that's huge. We are here to represent God, the kingdom of God to a lost world. And it's a bit daunting at times. You know, how do you and I represent God? Like we're nothing. We're just people. But yet that's what we're called to do, and we're not called to do it in our own strength. And there's a lot of sometimes obstacles, but it's like preparing for a journey. When we receive Christ, there's a discipling, a growing in him and our relationship with him, so that we can be his representative, so that we can identify those things and learn to hear from God. You know, the other day, nearly a year ago, I got some hearing aids, and after a time I'd said, Manny, these aren't working. And I took them out. They're useless. Can't hear any different whether I've got them or not. And anyway, I went to hear the hearing guys again on just a couple of days ago, and he had a look and he said, they're all blocked up. He said, do you ever clean them? I said, how do you do that? You know, they had all this wax in them and I couldn't hear a thing. And he said, well, it's like cleaning your teeth. You've actually got to brush them every day and to keep them clear, to keep them open. And I can actually hear myself today because they're clear. But it hit me this morning, actually, as I came in here, and I thought, actually, it's a bit like that with our spiritual life. It's not something you just happens once and that's it. We actually need to brush up our spiritual ears every day so that we can keep in touch with God. But so often, just life itself and all the stuff around us clogs that up, and we start, I'm not hearing God anymore. He used to tell me all this cool, really cool stuff, and now I'm not hearing him. Well, maybe we haven't been brushing it and clearing our spiritual ears on a regular basis. So that was just something I thought, as we go forward looking at what it is to be ambassadors, we also need to, what it is to be disciples and learn to hear what God is saying to us and speaking to us by spending that time to brush up every day, getting into his word on a daily basis and keeping tuned in. Because there's so many things that will clog that. And so we're here to represent God's kingdom. There's just three points I'd like to bring out. One is we're here to represent God's kingdom, but we're also here to represent the kingdom values, which is such contrast to the world's values so often. And the third thing is God equips us. He equips us to do that. He doesn't just throw us out there and saying, have a good time, guys, but it's a tough job. He actually equips us, and we're going to look at that too. The first one is ambassadors are a citizen of their country, and in the same way as we represent God's kingdom, his kingdom, and if we're going to be his ambassadors. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it as heartily as to the Lord and not to men. In other words, whether you're in a factory, whether you're a doctor or a nurse, or whether you're a farmer or grow trees for a living, we're still Christ's ambassadors. And we need to get our head around what does that look like. And it says there in Colossians that whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Let's think about how we come across, to the people we meet with and mix with every day. In Jesus' prayer, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God was concerned not just about getting us to heaven, but bringing heaven to earth. And that's as ambassadors of him, as representing the kingdom, that's what we're called to do, to bring heaven to earth. And so our businesses or our working for a business, whatever we do, is to bring a little bit of heaven to earth. When we're interacting with people around about us, bringing a little bit of heaven to earth, and not doing an anana at them and not going off at them and all that. We just need to think, what would Jesus do in this situation? How would he interact on a daily basis? Ephesians 2 and 10 says, for we are God's masterpiece, created in Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So that good work, it might be Mercy Ships, it might be another mission, but it might be right here in Colac, the people that need to see a little bit of heaven around them. And that's what our calling is. It's not complicated. It's just keeping that focus. When Scripture tells us that we are God's masterpiece, that's pretty huge. And with all our imperfections, we are still God's masterpiece. And if you look at a painting that's a masterpiece, it's not just a bit of scribble. It's not just something that's average. It's something that you say, wow, that's incredible. And God says that about each one of us, that we are God's masterpiece. He's created each one of us unique and different. And he has, wherever we are and whatever we do, to be that to be that reconciliation, to point people towards Christ. When we think of God's kingdom, we think of a bigger picture than what just human thinking would do. And there's an analogy that we've all heard before, but it's where there were two bricklayers and they were both laying bricks. And somebody came along and said, what are you doing? And one of the guys said, well, I'm laying bricks, of course. And the second guy said, I'm building a cathedral. They were both laying bricks, but one could see the bigger picture. It was way beyond what the other guy thought was just mundane, like he was just laying bricks. But one guy had his sights on where he was heading. And that's the same with us. We need to get the bigger picture, the difference between human thinking and kingdom thinking. Kingdom thinking thinks way beyond our ability. And that's why I was interested just to hear that small beginning of one man's dream to build the Mercy Ships. And here, all these years later, 40 years later, there's two floating hospitals and all those people are working there to bring hope, to bring healing to those, I didn't jot down those figures, but thousands and thousands of people. And so let's not be put off by a picture being too big. Because it starts like that mustard seed. It's just a little seed. And God's into starting small. He's not into starting big. He starts small and grows us and grows that vision. And as we do, as we follow those small things, other people jump on board and put their small bit in, and so that grows. And so when we think of growing God's kingdom and representing him here, let's not be put off by saying, well, I'm just me, I can't do anything. I might be able to plant a seed and that's all there is, but that's all part of it and from what grows from that. The second point is the character and the conduct of that that person that's called to be the ambassador must have represent the kingdom values. If we're to be a kingdom ambassador for God's kingdom, then we need to look at kingdom values. And we see in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So since we live in the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited and provoking and envying one another. So we can see there quite clearly that if we were to be Christ's ambassadors, we need to reflect his character and his values in our love and compassion for people. Very easy to, if we focus on our own frustrations, how we don't necessarily reflect more human values rather than kingdom values. And that can, that again, when we become a Christian, it starts small and we grow, we learn as we go, which is what discipleship's all about. And even in James 3:8, it talks about the power of speech. It can be a flame that starts a whole bushfire, and the negative things we say and the things we can say into people's lives can really make a difference for good or for bad. And I had this brought home to me one day. The phone rang and I pulled into a car park in Colac. I just pulled straight in to answer the phone. And next thing, I'm on the phone and this person started banging on the window and yelling and screaming, and I'm thinking, goodness, what's wrong if I ran over a toe or something? Anyway, I wound down the window, I'm still on the phone, and she starts abusing me for pinching her car park. And I'm thinking, well, firstly, she was having a hard day, so I just wound the window up and said, sorry, lady. And secondly, I thought, she didn't know whether I was on the phone because my kids had just been ran over or any other catastrophe. She was so focused on the fact that I had her car park. And I think I pulled in and I was, because the engine was still running and my foot was on the brake, so the brake lights were on, she thought I was coming out, but I wasn't. I just pulled in. So when we attempted to react, let's think about what other people are going through and not, you know, there's all sorts of catastrophes in people's lives that we have no clue about. So let's not react. Let's remember who we're representing here, the kingdom values, and just be a little bit gentle sometimes. It could have been a lot worse. It was just that to her, I'd just pinched her park. And I thought, well, I might have, but she had no idea what I was on that phone for. So we need to take every thought captive, and we can often have strongholds in our minds if we don't think right. And so part of that is our kingdom values too. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare his praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. So we just need to think about what is kingdom thinking, what is God's values, and allow it to be reflected in how we interact with people. Scripture says in one of the Proverbs, it says, as a man thinks, so is he. So we need to guard our thought life. That'll lead us down the right track or the wrong track. And in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, that's where it says, take every thought captive. It's our thought life that ends up directing which way we go sometimes. We've got to stop ourselves before it gets into bad habits. And the third thing is that we are equipped for the job. We're equipped to be. We're equipped to be ambassadors. And we read about that in Ephesians. We read about it in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. We saw how he's called us to do good works, and here he is equipping us to do those things. It's not something of ourselves, not human effort. It's looking to God through his Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, one of my favourite passages, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that can be invoked, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So there's a great promise that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you and I to overcome the obstacles in our life and to help us to be those ambassadors. And then in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. So if you think of a little thing, I just wonder whether the guy who sowed that seed of the mercy ships had a picture of the huge amount of influence that it was having today, and even having two floating hospitals out there to do such a fantastic work. But it was that little seed that, and God takes a hold of that to grow it. Let's not limit God by our own understanding. Let's just take that little mustard seed and allow it to grow. And just conclude with Philippians 1:5 that says, because of your partnership in the gospel, from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. His goal is for you and for us, and that he looks to the finished product. And let's not be small-minded as we look to God and saying, okay, well, I can't do much, but Lord, I'm yours. I'll take whatever you give me and give it back so you can grow me to keep growing. And it's a real inspiration. I find it a real inspiration to see something like Mercy Ships and the work they do and to think, wow, what can happen if we just start small, put our trust in God and be prepared to step out in faith. And there's probably already other missions and that out there that we can join. Like, that's going to be necessary. It's what happened with the Mercy Ship. It didn't start off with all those people working there. But it started just a little bit by little bit. So we'll leave it there. And thanks, Justin and Alyssa, for sharing that with us. That was fantastic.